pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
You don't do one single thing to make yourself acceptable to God. Jesus did. Doesn't matter if you're the most noble-looking person that's ever lived or the most heinous sinner. There's only one way.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Unspeakable Joy, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
I'd like to know if he preaches in jeans and a t-shirt, then I don't want to come in a coat and tie or vice versa. And the reason for that is because, in the first place, I want to be sensitive to the culture of that particular environment, because I don't want what I'm wearing to be an obstacle to reaching people. But there's something more important than that. Let's say I went into a church where the pastor normally wore a coat and tie, and I came in a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops. And let's say I preached like that, and then the Holy Spirit just fell, and God just moved, and people's lives were touched, and people are saved and delivered, and people are receiving ministry, and it just, a move of God just breaks out in the midst of it. I don't want it to be afterwards that somebody, because somebody would do this, somebody would go up to that home pastor and say, "Well, pastor, you ought to wear a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops. Obviously, God moves when somebody preaches wearing a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops." Well, that's ridiculous. You don't move God because you got a Hawaiian shirt on or because you got a necktie on. You can preach in shorts and sandals, or you can preach in a tuxedo. The move of God and the glories of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not dependent upon any such external form, but instead is all rooted in the sufficiency of Christ and what He's done, right? We all know that. And so what Paul's saying here is, it's not circumcision or circumcision or not. It doesn't matter. The problem is that you're attaching significance, purpose, and power to something that is actually void of all of it. Galatians 6:15, Paul says, "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation." As soon as someone suggests that you aren't qualified because you didn't have on the right clothes, because you didn't eat the right food, because you didn't keep the new festival, because you didn't wear your hair correctly, because you didn't do this, because you didn't do that, then you're robbing the gospel of its power. You're qualified by Jesus, or you're not qualified at all. And you can't add any additional qualification. He was perfect. He was sinless. He lived a life of perfect obedience unto the Father. He was the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He died upon a cross so that anyone who trusts in Him would have His sacrifice applied as if you had made it, and would have His righteousness applied as if you had lived it. And there is no other way. So why try to add anything to that? The Judaizers essentially teaching, if you're a Gentile and you become a Christian, you need to get circumcised in order to be fully acceptable to God. And this is just making Paul furious, because why, he said to the Galatians, would you start out in the Spirit and then return to this kind of external conformity to laws as if there's some kind of power in that? He says, we are the true circumcision. That's what he's saying here. He said, we already are the ones who worship in spirit and glory in Christ. The ones who are filled with the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, and whose boasting and confidence and glory is in Christ and His finished work and not in ourselves. We're just prone, beloved, to look for external indicators that we're on the in crowd. We're susceptible to that, and thus the Judaizers, and it still goes on in many different ways. When I was in high school, it was so different than it is now. Teenagers today, it seems like the primary value is on freedom of expression. So it's like the pressure is don't conform to anything. But when I was coming along, the pressure was conform. In fact, you knew if you were going to be cool at Page High School in Greensboro, you knew if you want to be in this cool group, you knew what to wear. You knew the people to hang with. And I'll tell you one thing, you knew where to get your hair cut. That's the truth. What happened was that somebody found out that Ed at the barbershop in Lawndale gave a really good haircut. And all of a sudden, all the cool people wanted to get Ed to cut their hair. I had Ed cut my hair. And it was very hard to get in with Ed. You could hardly get an appointment with him. Everybody at Page, everybody at Grimsley, everybody wanted Ed to cut their hair. He got so popular that he opened up his own barber shop, because you wouldn't want to be caught with some haircut other than Ed's haircut. We're just like that. Desperate to know we're in. And so if somebody comes sneaking in with a message that sounds like, well, that sounds right. I know circumcision was really important. Abraham, I know Moses was. I know the people were persecuted during Antiochus the Fourth. I know it must be before. We need to stand up for this. And they want to bring this in. And it sounds so saccharine. It sounds so harmless. Just add this one little thing that you would think, what in the world would be such a big deal to Paul? Do you see it? If you add 1% of personal human fleshly righteousness to what you think you need to do in order to be accepted, you have robbed the gospel of its power. And you have introduced unlimited capacity for worry that maybe you didn't do enough. And Paul is saying, so much is at stake. These are, he says, mutilators of the flesh, katatomen. This is the Greek word that's used in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. This is the word that is used in the well-known story in 1 Kings chapter 18, when, maybe you remember this story, that Elijah is pitted against the prophets of the pagan god Baal. And they are going to see which god's the real god, will come down and consume the altar with fire. And so the prophets of Baal go first, and they're calling on Baal, Baal. All of them, 450 of them, crying out, Baal, Baal. And nothing happens. And Elijah mocks them and says, maybe you need to cry louder. Maybe he's asleep or using the bathroom. Baal, Baal. So they cry louder. And then in the next scene, they begin to cut themselves, lacerating themselves, mutilating their flesh as if it's going to make Baal move. The word that is used there for them cutting, lashing themselves is katatome. Paul says to the Judaizers, you're doing the same thing. You're teaching people that you can move God by cutting some flesh. You don't move God by your acts of circumcision. You don't move God by your acts of righteousness. Listen, beloved, God was moved on your behalf when you didn't even know how to call upon his name. This is the gospel, that Christ came and died for the ungodly while they were still in their sin. Why do you think your little bit of righteousness is going to add one single thing to the sufficiency of the finished work of Christ himself? The battle is for the mind. You see, the devil cannot disqualify you from your inheritance in the saints. The devil cannot disqualify you from using your gifts. The devil cannot disqualify you from the fruit of the spirit of love and joy and peace. The devil can't steal your joy. The devil can't put you down. The devil can't rob you of the spiritual blessings that are yours in Christ. So where's the battleground? The battleground is right here in the mind, because you could disqualify yourself if you start believing that the gospel is Jesus plus something else. Don't disqualify yourself from the blessings that have already been bought for you in Christ. Don't cheapen the work of Jesus
by trying to add your piddly little circumcision, your little righteousness, your little acts of goodness, thinking you're a religious person. Don't you for a single moment think that you could do something to add to the majesty and wonder and glory and richness and eternal power of what God has done through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus plus nothing? Jesus plus nothing. So Paul lists all of these fleshly credentials. You know, it's interesting in the New Testament, sometimes the flesh, which is always a reference to the kind of sinful nature of humanity, right? It's not talking about the physical flesh and bone. He's talking about the flesh, meaning the sinful nature of humanity, that part of us is just flesh and not the redeemed spirit. And sometimes flesh is used to talk about how we're so easily lured into rebellion, how easily we're lured into fleshly temptations. But in this case, Paul refers to the flesh, and he's referencing all the wonderful things that he's done. So he lists all these credentials of his life. He's not saying, look at me, I was in such miserable estate, I was on drugs, I was in the gutter, I was penniless, and then I met Jesus and everything. No, he's saying, I was actually the one that everybody thought had everything. And I'm telling you, that's just as much flesh as somebody else who is in rebellion. You do understand that. Religious living, where you think that somehow you are the one that's bringing about your right standing with God, that's just as much flesh as is the utmost rebellion. And he's saying, I'm telling you, it's nothing.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Have you ever thought that joy is a delight reserved for those who have no problems? Or have you ever assumed that some people are just born with a joyful personality? If so, get ready for some good news. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit available to all in Christ, no matter the circumstances of life. Though Paul was in jail when he wrote his epistle to the Philippians, he spoke of joy 16 times. No matter what you're going through, you too can discover the secret to unspeakable joy as Pastor Alan Wright leads you through a life-building exploration of Philippians. When you make a gift to Sharing the Light Ministries today, we'll send you the new CD album, The Secret of Unspeakable Joy, as our way of saying thank you for your partnership. Your gifts are the only way we're able to continue broadcasting the message of grace all over the nation. Happiness may rise and fall with happenstance, but joy is ever present in the Spirit. So become a partner today and discover joy like never before. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
And he comes down here to this closing section of verse 10. And he's saying that here's why it's so important to know that your righteousness is found in Christ from God through faith. I love that language. I was found this way, you see. It is something that I made happen. And he says this at verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. What's he saying? He's saying that the more that you realize the power and purity and sufficiency and finality of what Jesus has done without any addition from you, the more you're going to know God. And the more you're going to know the power of his resurrection. He starts with the power of the resurrection, and he ends with the power of the resurrection. The resurrection power, the same power, however we would describe this mysterious, glorious power of God, this power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you, toward you, and through you. And there's somebody probably on the sound of my voice right now, and something is beginning to burn inside of your heart. Something is beginning to, feel like light that's starting to shine into darkness. Something that is making a sleeping, dormant part of you feel like it's starting to wake up, something inside of you that might even begin to go and say, I wonder if everything I've believed is wrong, wonder if Jesus is real. If you begin experiencing something like, I'm telling you what you're experiencing is the power of the resurrection. Dead people don't give life to themselves and blind people don't give sight to themselves. God does this. So he starts with the resurrection and he ends with the resurrection. He's saying the resurrection power is what saves you, and the resurrection power is what will glorify you. And in the midst of this, he says, the more that we know the sufficiency of the gospel and the gift of Jesus Christ, he's saying what we'll know is we will have a share in his sufferings. And he's not just talking about, oh, I'm suffering things, I'm in prison. What he's saying is something more exquisite than that. He's saying that as Jesus suffered on my behalf through faith in Christ, I am engrafted into Christ, and it is as if I had suffered those things. In the same way that Jesus was crucified, it is as if my old nature, my sin nature, my being that was under tyranny to sin and fear of death, all of that has been crucified with Jesus as well. There's just so much that is at stake. That's why Paul is just so insistent over this. It is about the power of the gospel. In the end, what he's saying is, I want you, beloved, to go all in 100% with Jesus alone. Whether you're circumcised, you're not circumcised, I don't care. All right. You wear a jacket, you wear a Hawaiian shirt, I don't care. These things don't have anything to do with it. As long as you can understand this, it's not Jesus 99% and you 1%. It's Jesus 100%. You don't pay for any of your own sin. You do not pay for any of your own sin. You don't do one single thing to make yourself acceptable to God. Jesus did. It doesn't matter if you're the most noble-looking person that's ever lived or the most heinous sinner. There's only one way. Christ himself, 100%. He paid it all. Some of you heard me maybe tell this years ago, but Ann and I have been married for a couple years at most. We were in Atlanta where we were living at the time. I was a seminary student. She was a kindergarten teacher. The budget was not hefty. We were shopping at Christmas time and we went into the Brookstone store where they've got all those fun gadgets and those big marvelous chairs that massage you that cost $3,000. And you know, I always wanted a telescope. I don't even have a small one, but I was one of those, like, they had these telescopes in there. I was kind of looking at them while we were walking around, like $5,000 telescopes. They had all this stuff in there. I was looking, and of course, we were just in there to get some little stocking stuffers. And my wife saw a hairbrush, had some sort of fancy chrome handle or something, and it was, I don't remember, it was $25 or $30. And she wanted it for Christmas. I said, honey, $25 for a hairbrush? We can get it at Walmart for $4.99. No hairbrush. She asked me a couple times, she really liked the hairbrush. I said, no hairbrush, honey. We're on a budget here. We get our few gifts here. When we walked into the store, a lady handed me this card. And said, this is our promotion. Said, you're going to get a discount on what you purchased today. Don't scratch this gray circle until after you buy your stuff. And then you scratch it off, and it'll have a percentage down here, 10%, 15%, 20%. You'll get off of your total purchase today. And I put it in my pocket and didn't think about it. We walked around, and we shopped. And I looked at the chairs, and I looked at the telescopes. And she looked at the chrome-handled hairbrush. And we went up finally with $12 of stocking stuffers to the counter, buy them. And the lady said, did you get one of those cards? I said, oh, yeah, I did. I pulled it out and handed it to her, and she scratched it off, and she looked at it, and she looked at us, and she looked at it, and she looked at us, and she said, pardon me just a moment. And she went and got the manager, and the manager, I could hear them talking to each other. And the manager said, well, I
I guess I heard that there was such a thing. I don't know. She said, all of it. I'm looking, I'm like, what are they talking about? She handed me the card, and she said, congratulations. And I looked at it, and it said 100%. 100% of my purchase was paid for that day. $12. Not only have I not got the massaging chair, I didn't even get the hairbrush. I said, you mean I could have had anything I wanted in here for free? She said, yeah. And I looked down at our stuff sitting on the counter. And I was like, are you kidding me? She handed us the stuff in a bag, didn't even charge us tax. And we walked out and we should have been happy, but we weren't. I don't want to get to heaven one day and find out that when you scratch it off, you look down there and it said, Jesus was 100%? Are you kidding me? You mean it was all paid for? You mean it was all mine? You mean all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus? You mean every single thing that he spoke of my inheritance has been mine? You mean I could have had that joy? You mean I could have had the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you? You mean I could have had all of that without the fear and the worry? You mean Jesus was 100%? I don't want to get to heaven one day and find out that there was more than I realized. Because, beloved, let me tell you, the gospel is good news because it's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. And that's the gospel. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much. $12 worth of useless junk. Oh, God did that on purpose, didn't he? I'm telling you. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Oh, we thank you. We get heaven one day, but we thank you also that we are now in this moment already heirs of the righteousness of Christ. He's our everything.
Alan Wright. And the conclusion of today's teaching, Living by the Spirit Rather Than the Flesh, in unspeakable joy. We've got Alan back here in a moment with additional insight on this for your life and today's final word.
C.S. Lewis said, "No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it." In other words, joy isn't an elusive dream reserved for a select few who have no problems or for those who were born with a joyful disposition. Actually, joy is a fruit of the Spirit available to all in Christ. No matter what you're facing, you can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of it. The Apostle Paul did. Though he wrote his epistle to the Philippians while imprisoned, he spoke of joy 16 times. Alan Wright's newest CD album, The Secret of Unspeakable Joy, takes you chapter by chapter through Paul's explanation of the secret of joy in Philippians. When you make a gift today to Sharing the Light, we'll be delighted to send you the new CD album as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Become a partner today and discover the secrets of unspeakable joy. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Alan, as we were just talking not long ago about living by rules, how that gives an illusion of many things that could be happening there when I'm making a checklist and I'm checking them off, mm-hmm. a lot of progress being made there. Would you say that when you live by the law and you live by the rules and that's all you're living by, it's possibly giving you an illusion of joy, but not true joy?
Well, I think we want to convince ourselves that we've done enough and therefore, you know, we should get blessed. And if you feel like you're being blessed and things are working out great, then you go, oh, well, look, see, God's blessing me because I did so well. But as soon as something goes wrong, what are you left with?
Yeah.
You're just going to be left with self-condemnation. Oh, I'm not. You're either going to say, well, I just need to do more, or you'll say, well, it doesn't work, I'm going to give up. And the gospel's neither of those. And that's why, you know, we're just laughing there at the end about our little escapade at the Brookstone store in Atlanta. But
yeah.
If you know ahead of time it was all free, what I'm trying to find 1,000 different ways to say, Daniel, is that you actually would go all in. Mm-hmm. And we have sometimes the illusion that people aren't going to try. They're not going to move forward. They're not going to be energized if they find out the gospel's totally free. I beg to differ. I think that it is the weight of thinking it's not free and that it's up to us is what wears us out, worries us, and makes us at our worst. We're at our best when we're in grace.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.